Thank you. The next item on the agenda is the continuation of the Consol Virginia Coal Company hearing, item number 052233. For the benefit of the audience, just real fast, Randy, come on out. We had a public hearing recently in which five commission members attended. Today, we will decide this matter with the five commission members that attended the public hearing. In talking with counsel, and I've made the determination that I think it's appropriate that those five members make the decision at this time. So what we will do, as I discussed the rules at the public hearing, is we will have a brief synopsis by staff. The five members can ask staff any questions they may have. The applicant will have 15 minutes to provide any presentation or rebuttal that they want. The opposition will have 15 minutes, and then the applicant will have another five. So with that, Randy, if you would, please proceed.
Good morning.
And welcome back from God's country out that way. It's beautiful out there.
It's definitely pretty out there. Well, as the commissioner stated, that we held our first ever video conference public hearing on March 12th. On your table in front of you, we have a separate white three-ring binder that contains the amended Consol record. So put away your big books for a minute and reach for the smaller white three-ring binder. On the front, you should see the outline or the index for the amended record with the name Consol on it.
Everybody got it?
All right. Under tab 5, you'll see that we have amended the record to include the exhibits from the March 12th hearing. They're all there. There are a few items that were too large to copy, so I have those available, some of the larger color photographs, that type thing. The 30 photographs of the smallmouth bass, I have those. Under tab 6, we have received additional information up until as late as yesterday afternoon. They're itemized for you as well.
Excuse me. I don't have tabs. Am I looking at them?
I'm sorry. Tabs may be the inappropriate term, but if you flip to,
say six on the bottom.
Right here, you see the sixes?
I got you. Okay.
And then if you look at the index, it'll...
I got you. Okay, I understand there. Thank you.
No problem. The hearing itself was conducted between the campuses of the Southwest Virginia Community College in Richlands, Virginia, which is some 45 minutes southeast of the project location in Grundy, and at the campus of the Thomas Nelson Community College in Hampton. Of course, the commissioner sat in Hampton, and I facilitated the hearing from the other end of the state. At the hearing, there were approximately 20 people in attendance with 13 speakers. Consol did provide two speakers in support of their request, which is highlighted on the screen for you. Specifically, they're asking for authorization to construct the diffuser outfall to facilitate the discharge of mine water from its Buchanan Mine Number 1 into the Lavazza Fork in Buchanan County. The project is protested by the Buchanan County Board of Supervisors, the Town of Grundy, the Sierra Club, and nearby residents. Seven citizens spoke in opposition to the project. Several of those expressed concerns about there's an abandoned mine that's currently being used to store the water. And they were concerned about the possible contamination of PCBs, hydraulic fluids, oils, and greases that are a result of past mining activities. The chairman of the Buchanan County Board of Supervisors, his counsel, and Delegate Dan Bowling also spoke in support of coal mining activities in Buchanan County, but were opposed to the outfall with that pretreatment of the effluent. They and the previous speakers asked that Consol be required to remove the chlorides and or the other possible contaminants that might be in the discharge. I'm going to forego the actual PowerPoint presentation, but I do have one summary slide that we used at the March 12th hearing. What you'll note here in the background, the active mine is over here some 15 miles uphill or southeast of the proposed outfall location, which is up in Grundy. The current practice is to pump the water from the active mine into, mouse going here, into one of two abandoned mines that are identified as VP1 and VP3. The current proposal before you is to pump the water from VP3 to a storage tank on the adjacent mountainside and through a controlled release through a gravity line down to the Lavazza Fork in Grundy, approximately a half mile downstream from the Buchanan County Courthouse. On the upper right, you'll see a photograph of the Lavazza. It's at the proposed outfall location. It's approximately 60 to 70 feet in width and about 2 feet deep during normal flow conditions. This water flows into Kentucky, which is about 12 miles downstream. The lower right hand, you can see actually a picture of the actual diffuser. It's a 24-inch stainless steel header pipe with four 8-inch diameter diffusers. It's being stored up at VP3, which is the abandoned mine. The plans call for setting that in a trench that would be excavated into the riverbed, backfilled with concrete to protect it. And then only the four diffusers and four concrete bollards would be above stream grade, but they themselves would be underwater during normal flow. And in the lower left-hand corner, you'll see a photograph of the state-endangered variegate darter, which is in the project vicinity, and I'll have something to say about that species in 1 minute. So that's just a quick rundown of the project. I'm prepared to move on to the summary recommendations, which is item 1A-4 in your book. The project as proposed requires commission authorization for the encroachment over state unsubmerged land pursuant to Title 28.2, Chapter 12 of the Code of Virginia. While staff acknowledges and is sympathetic to the protestants' concerns about the introduction of chlorides and other potential contaminants into the Lavazza Fork, it is imperative to note that the Commission's jurisdiction of this project is limited to the physical encroachment of the outfall over the state unsubmerged land within the Lavazza Fork, and that the Commission is not empowered to regulate the effluent proper. The effluent's impact on existing aquatic resources and water quality of the river is determined by DMLRs, and that's short for the Division of Mine Land Reclamation, and DEQ's permit, and not this Commission. In its letter to the Commission, DEQ indicates that DMLR's VPDES permit, and that's short for Virginia Pollution Discharge Elimination System, the VPDES permit has the necessary controls in it to ensure that the state water quality standards for chlorides will be met. Consult has advised further during the actual March 12th hearing that the VPDES permit also requires testing of the water from the mine that the citizens were concerned about, and prior approval from DMLR before any discharge is allowed. Accordingly, in light of DMLR's leading jurisdiction and authority to regulate coal mine and related discharges in the Commonwealth of Virginia, and with the concurrence of DEQ, EPA, and the Office of Surface Mining to issue the VPDES permit, staff recommends approval of the outfall structure as proposed. We do not feel the outfall structure itself should have any adverse effects on other reasonable and permissible uses of state waters and state bottomlands or adjacent or nearby properties. The MLR's VPDES permit will require that water quality standards are met and fishery resources are not adversely affected. Staff does, however, recommend an in-stream time of year work restriction for this project. Now, your evaluation, which was provided to you last week, says March 15th through July 31. Yesterday afternoon at about 4:30, the Department of Game and Land Fisheries did email me. Consol has been working with them and with the MLR on an amended time of year restriction. The Game Department has consented to an April 15 through July 31 time of year, conditioned on Consol's agreement to perform a study of the variegate darter that will be designed by the Department of Game and Land Fisheries. And the only other recommendations is for a royalty of $500 for the encroachment of the diffuser over 250 square feet of state-owned submerged land at $2 per square foot, and also failed to include in the evaluation our standard in-stream permit conditions, which we would normally, you know, recommend. Commissioner Bowman, that concludes my brief.
Thank you, Randy. You did a very, very good job, especially with the new technology we used. I think it went really well.
I think it went well.
Any questions from the members that were present at the public hearing for Mr. Owen? Dr. McConaughey.
I noticed that they are going to have bioassays and things. Have they determined what kind of assay and how frequently?
They certainly have, and I would love to defer to Dr. Roberts, who is the agent for CONSOL, because, you know, that gets very into the depths of the DMLR permit and the DEQ overview, and that's appropriate.
And we don't want you answering if you don't.
No,
no, it's fine. There was several years of work there with between CONSOL and DMLR on that issue.
Any further questions? Thank you, Randy. Mm-hmm. Is the applicant here or represented?
Mr. Commissioner, Associate Commissioners, my name is Brian Buniva, B-U-N-I-V-A for the record.
Good to have you here, Counselor.
And I'd like to invite Dr. Roberts up because I know I can't answer the question.
Sure. Dr. Roberts. But I will him.
He's going to swear both of us.
Is anyone else going to testify during your 15-minute period? Good morning, Doctor. You raise your right hand. You don't need to be sworn in, Counsel. Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self, you God?
I do.
You state your name and who you represent, please.
Dr. James M. Roberts, representing my firm, Civil and Environmental Consultants, Consultant to CONSOL.
Okay. Could you answer Dr. McConaughey's question, please?
Doctor, I can generally. I'm a civil engineer.
Can you step, and also it's on the record, so if you step there, that'd be fine. Thank you.
I'll attempt to, Doctor. I'm a civil engineer, and our team consisted of a number of other parties, including Dr. James Mudge, who negotiated with DEQ and DMLR on not only the bioassays, but the in-stream monitoring efforts that are required under the permit. I don't have a specific recall of what they agreed to, but I can assure you that it was a direct negotiation and that DEQ set the tone and established what they wanted, and we agreed to meet their requirements.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
I think I can say that it is in the permit condition itself of the DMLR permit, but it's about that thick. I can't recall the specifics.
I couldn't find it either.
Okay. Thank you very much. I am going to ask that any time that I don't use my 15 minutes could be reserved for the rebuttal if I am so able.
I've been here on behalf of Buckhead County. If I may address the commission one moment in response to what you just said, I'd like to be lawful.
Sure, come forward. Let's make sure we've got the rules of engagement straight before we get down the path.
First, it was our understanding that this would be a hearing for summarization of what had been said previously, not that we could produce witnesses here today. We could have brought people to testify, but we haven't with their understanding of the matter. And
Mr. McLaughlin, would you prefer that they not have their questions answered?
I would prefer that you have your questions answered, and I would ask that if they can present Mr. Roberts, that we be allowed to bring Mr. Donald Orth, who is a zoologist and a professor at Virginia Polytechnic Institute in Blacksburg, Virginia, here to testify in front of the commission also, and that we be allowed to cross-examine their witness, and they'd be allowed to cross-examine ours.
All right, I'll tell you what. That was probably my error in allowing this gentleman. We should have probably had DEQ respond to that. So what we're going to do is this, just so we're straight.
Yes, sir.
You'll have 15 minutes.
Yes, sir.
And I will not allow you to reserve any time because the rules were made clear to begin with. 15 minutes,
and then five.
Then 5 minutes to clear up. Because if I allow you to divide your time, then strategically one might feel they received the upper hand. So
I was just giving me an incentive to do it in less than 15 minutes. But
I understand. You're quite welcome, sir.
All right. Thank you. The Code of Virginia, of course, requires the commission to consult with other state agencies, including VIMS and, in appropriate case, State Water Control Board, DEQ, et cetera, whenever the commission's decision on a permit application relates to or affects the particular concerns or activities of those specific agencies. This project has been reviewed and or approved over the past 2 years by no less than 8 other federal or state regulatory agencies, all of whom have evaluated the proposed project and all of the concerns that you heard on March 12th and several that you didn't hear on March 12th, and have agreed or given their recommendations that have been incorporated in the DMLR permit, and subject to the approval of this commission granting the permit application that we're before you on today, that is the installation of the diffuser. Those agencies are the Division of Mine Land Reclamation, which analyzed all the water quality issues and the alternatives to this proposed discharge and issued an NPDES permit for the project, again subject to the approval of this diffuser. EPA was consulted and has submitted a letter of approval with respect to your record. The Office of Surface Mining of the Department of Interior, which administers the Surface Mining Control Reclamation Act, has done the same. DEQ has done the same, specifically and especially with respect to the mixing zone issue that starts with the diffuser's discharge. The DEQ has also issued a Virginia Water Protection Permit, which is a precursor to any action by the Corps of Engineers and often by this agency on a dredge and fill type permit. The Corps of Engineers has issued a state programmatic general permit for the project. DCR, Department of Conservation and Recreation, has concluded that there are no state-protected, threatened, or endangered plants or insect species impacted by the project. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has concluded that there are no federally protected, rare, threatened, or endangered species impacted by the project. And as you just heard, the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries did propose a time-of-year restriction. And that time of year restriction they have just submitted can go up to April 15th for in-stream activities, and after that cannot continue until after. Some of the safeguards that have been until July 31st is the next time. Some of the safeguards built in the project and the NPDES permit to ensure compliance both with the federal and, as implemented by the state, effluent limitations, in-stream water quality standards, and the federal regulations are: there will be continuous in-stream monitoring for chlorides with an automatic shutdown of the discharge should the monitoring indicate a potential exceedance of the water quality standard or any of the effluent standards. The discharge can only occur, and it is automatically set up through a computerized system that is way over my head, when all control monitors are properly reporting. And if the monitors indicate potential permit exceedances, the water in the blending tank that is at BP3 will be piped back into BP3 mine shaft, not discharged until adjustments can be made according to the monitoring system. The discharge flow rate is continuously measured and matched via computer with the calculated discharge rates and the flow rate of the river. They are matched together to make sure that the rate of discharge and the volume of the water is such that the assimilative capacity is matched so that there is no violation of the permit requirements. During low flows in the Levisa River, which based upon historical data is approximately 26% of the time, there will be no discharge of this water. So if it goes below, I think it's 55 cubic feet per second flow, there will be no discharge at all, and that's approximately a little over a quarter of the time. that obviously is done to protect aquatic life and the water quality itself. Bimonthly, there will be monitoring for the technology-based effluent limits that are set forth in the federal regulations and incorporated into the permit. There will be monthly in-stream monitoring. And there will be scheduled biological monitoring, including the fish surveys and the bioassays that Dr. McConnell asked about. And then, as you just heard, there will be a 3-year study developed for the dealing with the habits and habitat, if you will, of the variegate darter, which our studies have demonstrated that in the location of where the proposed diffuser will be installed, if we were granted the permit, there was one variegate darter found in the Grundy Pool after two efforts, one in the spring and one in the fall. There were many more well down in the first riffle, which I think is somewhere in the order of 500, 600 feet past the mixing zone, where we're required to be in compliance with that water quality standard for chlorides. currently, there is an administrative review from the Division of Mine Land Reclamation to the director of the Department of Mines, Minerals, and Energy. That is in process, and virtually all of the issues that you were presented with on March 12th have already been raised by the county and others in that proceeding as well. Today, what you will be asked to do, and what you have already been asked to do, is to, in essence, sit as an appellate court and substitute your judgment on issues of water quality and environmental impacts that are specific to the various state and federal agencies that I've identified before and who have thoroughly considered and provided their judgments already. And we submit to you, as your staff has indicated, that that is, frankly, not what your job is. Your job is to assess the impacts related from the construction, if you will, of the facility, of the diffuser itself, and measure how that's going to impact. It is not the effluent, although we have spent considerable time because of all these issues raised to tell you about those safeguards and what has been done so that you can be more comfortable in the decision that we're asking you to make. We are asking you to approve the final portion of this project, which involves approximately 6 days of stream bed construction activity on a one-time basis. There was a question during the public hearing as to whether or not there would be downstream erosion and sediment control. That was answered, that the flow is adjusted in such a way that that we certainly don't anticipate that and don't expect that. The discharge rate varies with the stream flow. The discharge will never exceed, the volume of the discharge will never exceed a maximum of 2.8% of the stream flow at maximum discharge. And the way this works, just in brief summary, is if you've got a low flow in the river, natural low flow in the river, but it's above 55 cubic feet per second, so you can discharge, you can only discharge a lower amount. I think it's on the order of 3,000 gallons per minute. If it gets up over a certain, the river's flow gets up over a certain point, then the system can discharge up to its maximum. And that is all the computerized calculations that we're talking about. You did hear a number of comments that, frankly, have been raised and answered and raised again in every proceeding. And the fact of the matter is, I am confident now, having gone through several of these hearings, that I'm going to hear them again, even though they have been answered. So let me correct the record on just a couple of things. One, the mine water in VP3 will be discharged without being tested. False. There is a specific permit condition, which I quote, that says, there is currently no water sampling access to VP3, although the quality of water in VP3 mine is expected to be similar to the Buchanan No. 1 water, for which there are years of data, I might add. Additional testing of the water from VP3 is planned when it becomes accessible and prior to discharge as part of the proposed dewatering process. That is a permit condition. Until that water is analyzed, for the whole range of concerns, including PCBs, including oil and gas, including hydrocarbons, including VOCs, including chlorides, and everything else that you've heard the concerns raised about, will happen, and we'll know. And if there's a problem, it will be dealt with before it is discharged. That's the whole purpose of that. So put that out of your minds. I know that that testimony was given under oath, and in fact, that the comment was issued on September, I think it was 19th, to the very people that testified that that wasn't happening under oath.
You got about 2 minutes, Mr. Medina.
That's plenty. Sure. Second false statement. The water will be discharged untreated. Not true. We will have treatment for iron, manganese, total suspended solids. No, I'm sorry, strike that. We will have the proposed discharge currently meets the NPDES requirements for manganese and total suspended solids and will be treated if as required to meet the iron discharge limits. There will be treatment. It's simple. It's settling ponds, and that will take care of that. The aquatic assessment was inaccurate. The only thing we concentrated on was where the problem was. The fact of the matter is our fish studies, we found a bunch of bass, and those pictures were great. But we didn't say they weren't there. The bass can take the effluent. The one that you got to worry about is variegate darter, and that's what our studies focused on. Mm-hmm. And good fish. So if the variegate darter is okay, everybody else is going to be okay, essentially. The last point I'll raise is that the mixing zone will cause significant fish kills. Wrong again. I want you to understand that within 0.4 meters to 0.7 meters from the end of that diffuser pipe downstream, the concentration of chloride drops below the acute toxic standard of the state water quality standards.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We hope you issued the permit.
Thank you, sir. Does anyone have any questions of this gentleman pertaining to his summary? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Again, Counselor, good morning, sir. Good to have you here.
Good morning, and thank you for allowing me to speak. Again, my name is Mickey McLaughlin. I'm the county attorney from Buckhannon County, Virginia. And I was asked to come down here by the Buckhannon County Board of Supervisors, which unanimously voted that I come here to represent to you this morning the view of the county concerning this. The county is opposed to the issuance of this permit. You've heard the evidence. Buckhannon County, located approximately 425 miles from here in the steep mountainous coal fields of southwest Virginia, has its center section primarily drained by this river, the Levisa River, which, as you can see, and maybe can't see that well, but it's probably about as wide as this room is. It's a river, as the evidence was stated, that was once a beautiful river teeming with fish that about had its fish and wildlife in it destroyed by mining waters. But today, it is on the rebound. Today, you saw pictures of the smallmouth bass in there. You heard gentlemen tell you this is one of Virginia's best smallmouth bass fishing streams. It has the variegate darter in it, a state endangered species. It has other fish, a lot of catfish. And you heard also that this is part of Buckhannon County's economic development to develop tourism in conjunction with education. But Buckhannon County is the heart of the coal fields. It is a county that had for years been one of the top 10 coal mining counties in the United States. And the people of Buckhannon County are not opposed to coal mining. But what is happening in this instance? First, the testing issue. All of the testing in this case has been done by Mr. Roberts and his firm. DMLR didn't do any independent testing. DEQ didn't do any independent testing. You all haven't done any independent testing of this water. You've heard Jury Ward's testimony about what was in the VP3 mine. The VP3 mine was put in before the Buckhannon 1 mine. And they say, well, we're going to test it before we put the water in the stream. Wouldn't you want to test it? Wouldn't you want to test it independently before you issued the permit? It can be tested. It's expensive, but it can be tested. What is wrong with the stream right now? Well, it has PCBs in it. It has some chloride in it, but not a lot. Where does this chloride come from? In the staff report, it says on page 3, DEQ further reported that the discharge of chloride in mine water had occurred unregulated in the project vicinity for many years. The VPDES permit for the project was the first attempt to restrict mining-related chloride discharges to meet the state's in-stream water quality standards. They stated that the proposed outfall would eliminate the unregulated discharges that previously had occurred in the Levisa Fork watershed and ultimately contributed to a 2006 in-stream violation of the water quality standard for chloride from Buckhannon Mine No. 1. That paragraph makes it sound like this is fixing the Levisa River, when in essence, it's the exact opposite. There's a little chloride getting into it right now, 19 miles away, and their proposal is to put up to 14.4 million gallons per day in it, 19 miles downstream in Grundy, through a permit that will allow a mixing zone that's nearly three-fourths of a mile long. And then that clears it up. It's not treated for chloride. That clears it up, according to this. Well, gentlemen, I'm going to represent to you here today that I can clear up drunk driving in Virginia. We'll raise the standard to a 0.40 blood alcohol instead of the 0.08 that it is right now, and we've done away with it. Thank God, we're a great group. That's about what they're proposing to do here today with this. That makes no sense. What will this do to the water? Read the resume of Donald Orff. Nobody's ever done a study of putting this much salt water in a freshwater stream before. It's not been done. Do you think he's lying to you? He's the Thomas Jones professor at VPI. He's written 50 pages worth of material on this stuff. What effect's it going to have? Here's a fellow with a civil engineering firm that's coming in here telling you what effect it's going to have, and are asking you to believe him over Donald Orff. Well, what power do you all have? Well, according to them, all you have is the power to say whether this pipe goes out in the stream. And if that's what you relegate yourself to, you truly don't have much power. I've read the section that says what your jurisdiction is, and I think under Virginia law, you've got pretty much jurisdiction. You've got the ability, if you want to exercise it, to protect the fish and the wildlife in the Levisa River. And I challenge you to go back and read your own jurisdictional clause. You have the power to do that. Today, they say, you don't have the power. We'll test it later on. Not now. And who'll test it? They'll test it. They'll cut their own samples of it. Are they testing it for PCBs out of VP number 3? No. Who's put this stuff in the river before to make it contaminated with chlorides? Ask him that. Tell you who's done that. They can treat this water. What if you say no here today? What if you say no? This is a big operation. They've estimated, according to the information that they've provided to you, that their revenues over the 17-year life expectancy of the mine are $7 billion, considering a conservative price of coal of $60 per ton. And coal's like everything else. It fluctuates in value, but they're saying conservatively over a 17-year period, $60 per ton. $7 billion in revenues. Their estimates for cleaning this up, and that means the chloride, not something else in there, retreating it for something that's not the main thing that's going into the stream, is $105 million. Well, now, as I count that, $105 million is 1.5% of revenues. And they say repeatedly this is going to shut us down if we don't get rid of the waters. And we've said, yes, if you don't get the water out of the mine, wherever it's coming from, it'll shut you down. You can't have the mine full of water. But 1.5% of revenues, what's your profit, we ask, for this mine? You never seen Mr. Buniva come up and present you any figures on what the profit margin is on this mine. They say, State of Virginia, give us your river. Let us put this in. But we're not telling you the profit margin. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We submit to you that they can afford to treat this. That they can afford to treat this water and preserve this river for the benefit of the inhabitants. And we submit to you, they've presented a proposal to do it through reverse osmosis. Some of that $105 million they've already spent because they had to pump the water out of the mine and put a pipe 19 miles downstream to put it to Grundy. But in running it downstream, they have to pump it out to be able to treat it, too, for chloride. So that's part of the expenses they've already calculated. So they also have it going, they have two more mines that they could put the water in, 5 and 6, VP 5 and 6, that they could store water in before they put any in the stream. And they're taking this water by Virginia's only coke ovens that I know of, the Jewel Coal and Coke's plant, which generates an enormous amount of heat that could be used to distill this water.
Could you wrap up for me, please?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
So we submit to you that they have the ability to treat the water, to remove the chlorides from it. They can afford to do it. That will protect the state's waterway, and that you have the power to say no. And we ask you to not be like Pontius Pilate and wash your hands of this thing, saying it's not so good, but I want to wash my hands of it today. We ask you to vote no. On behalf of the people of Buckhannon County and the town of Grundy.
Thank you. Thank you for your presentation. Mr. Boniva?
We ask you to vote yes on behalf of the people of Buckhannon County and the environment in Virginia. And here's why. The fact of the matter is, this thing has been studied to death. I'm not going to provide you financial information because I don't know it. And unlike my colleague, I try to confine my remarks to issues that are relevant before this body. And what is relevant before this body is, does this discharge through this diffuser, which we are asking to disturb over a 6-day period, the bottom of the river, to bury this diffuser so that we can regulate the discharge coming out in the most protective manner possible. That's what we are asking you for. That will allow the largest industry in Buckhannon County, from the largest mine in the state of Virginia, to continue to operate. So on behalf of the people of Buckhannon County, I ask you to grant this diffuser. Further, the Grundy Economic Development Authority commissioned a study by Marshall Miller and Associates to assess both the environmental and economic impacts, to determine what economic impact as well as environmental impact this proposal would have I have attached that study in my written comments submitted to you on March 20th, which I think arrived on the 21st. And I'll just quote from you the cover letter addressed to the chairman of the Grundy Industrial Development Authority and to the county administrator of Buchanan County, who Mr. McLaughlin has apparently represents, which says this is their study, their consultant, they paid for it. Quote, in capsule, we do not believe that the proposed operation will have significant adverse impacts overall. The impacts to benthic and aquatic life should not be severe and should be limited to the mixing zone. The discharge is not expected to have an impact on present or foreseeable future wastewater treatment plant discharges based on current regulatory consideration. Grundy's water intake is above this discharge. The only other public water supply is 40 miles downstream in Pikeville, Kentucky, and the chlorides are estimated to be 43 milligrams per liter. The Safe Drinking Water Act sets a secondary contaminant level of 250 milligrams per liter. And frankly, they mentioned the Riverview Elementary School, you'll recall, during the hearing. That is so far beyond the location of the mixing zone, the end of the mixing zone, that will only that it is clearly drinkable, except for the fecal coliforms, which my company had nothing to do with.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you both very much for a very good presentation. Thank you also to the people of your community that came forward and were heard via satellite. I think the hearing went very well. And the matter is now before the commission for discussion. Before we do, is DEQ here represented? Okay. Matters before the commission.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Holland.
I move that we accept the recommendation of staff.
Okay. Is there a second to the motion? Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second for purpose of discussion.
Okay. Seconded by Mr. Bowden. Discussion? Mr. Bowden?
I share a lot of the same concerns that the citizens do about water quality. And, you know, one thing that was mentioned at the public hearing was if this was going into the Chesapeake Bay, there would be a lot more concern. I don't think it really would be a problem because the Chesapeake Bay is salt water. So, and you'd be diluting salt water instead of increasing it. The question I have is more for Carl than anything. We've heard testimony and we've seen written material saying that all we really do control is the diffuser. We have no say over the water quality. Is that correct?
Take a look at the statute, which is 28.2-1205. First of all, let's look at 1204. It gives you the authority to issue permits for all reasonable uses of state-owned bottomlands. That's your authority for the permits. And 1205 basically tells you the factors that you need to take into consideration in arriving at your decision what is a reasonable use. And these other factors that are listed in 1205, including water quality, adjacent or nearby properties, fisheries and things of that sort, you can take into consideration. But that doesn't mean that you can't consider the expertise or the viewpoints of the agencies who also deal with these things on a regular primary basis.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Well, I certainly sympathize with the people of Buchanan County as well. If I had my way, there would be, if we could reduce effluent to near zero as far as placing it overboard, and into streams and into watersheds, I would be a much happier person. However, this is a situation that has been studied. I read into the record, and I will read again a letter from Ms. or excerpt from Ellen Galinsky, which indicates that DEQ will be actively involved in monitoring the water quality of the LaVisa River watershed and will provide input to both CONSOL and DMLR. It includes a TMDL study, which will be conducted. And what is most important to me is the line that states, it is also important to note that the discharge permit for the activity is not a permanent or static document. The permit may be modified to address changing conditions and may be made more restrictive if CONSOL violates either their existing permit or if the TMDL places a reduction in load on its discharge in relation to other discharges in the basin. I have every faith that Director Paler of DEQ and his staff will live up to their word in this document, and I will be looking forward to them doing that. So based on the safeguards, the promises that DEQ has made to monitor this situation very closely, I'll be supporting the motion. Any further discussion?
I have one question.
Yes, sir.
In the event that the DEQ does not live up to this responsibility, can the commission order the pipes, the diffuser, to be shut down?
Can we make that part of the condition of the shutting it, Carl?
I'm not sure. I didn't hear that in total. What's the question?
In the event that the DEQ fails in its obligation to monitor properly the outflow, can the BMRC require that this pipe diffuser be shut down?
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, I apologize, but we cannot
The question was that if DEQ fails in its responsibilities to accurately and adequately monitor the situation, can we make it part of a condition of our permit that the diffuser be shut down? Is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, starting with the premise that you have the authority for reasonable grounds to deny the application, then for reasonable for approval of the permit application, you also have the authority to include reasonable conditions. I am not sure that it is a reasonable condition, and I guess people could differ on this, to establish a benchmark for, a vague benchmark for another state agency, and then to take action. I think what you could do, which the reasonableness might be less concern, would be to ask for some sort of reports from the company based on DEQ's monitoring, or ask DEQ or both of them. I mean, if you could ask DEQ, it couldn't be a condition of the permit because the permit is for the applicant. What the status of the monitoring is, and include a condition that if it is determined that something is unsatisfactory, that the applicant come back and show cause as to why it should not be asked or required to shut down or to take some other appropriate action with respect to its operations.
But wouldn't the first venue for that to be located would be at the water board prior to getting here, probably?
Most likely.
I'll accept that.
Okay. Any further discussion? We'll do is we'll have a roll call vote. Those that were not there, I would appreciate a vote of abstention, please. Mr. Bowden.
Aye.
What are we? I'm sorry.
Motion made.
The motion was to accept
staff recommendations. That's correct.
That's the motion.
Yes, sir. Okay. Mr. Bowden votes aye. Mr. Fox.
Aye.
Abstain.
Mr. Holland?
Aye.
Dr. McConaughey?
Aye.
Mr. McCluskey?
Aye.
Mr. Robbins?
Abstain.
Mr. Schick?
Abstain.
Mr. Tankard?
Abstain.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes unanimously, 5-0. Thank you both very much for a very good presentation. Next item on the agenda is Robert B. Hart et al.